Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to thank you so much for joining us for the prayer meeting, because honestly, when we pray, it makes a massive difference. It makes a difference in our lives personally. It makes a difference in our walk with the Lord, our ability to sense what God is doing in our life, how God is leading us. It makes a difference for our families. It makes a difference in the places where we work or the business that you own. Praying makes a difference. It makes a difference in the church. Everything we've seen happen at James River in the past and everything we're going to see happen in the future is energized, is fueled by prayer. So when we pray, God is going to bless the church. Not only that, God is going to bless the area. He's going to bless the state of Missouri. He's going to bless the country. You know, we're praying about this pandemic. We're praying that God would stop it. We're praying that there would not be the number of deaths they were forecasting. And I believe this, that God is answering our prayers. He's answering the prayers that we've been praying, that you're praying. So it makes a massive difference. Let me just say this as well. On Sunday, during the Bags by the Bumper drop-off, probably the number one question that I was asked was, when are we going to be able to meet again? And you know, I don't think any of us have any idea when we're going to be able to gather, but I would suggest to you it's probably going to be in June sometime. So we're working toward that end. We're praying toward that end. If for some reason we can gather sooner than that, we would certainly want to. I'm hopeful that maybe in May at some point we'll be able to have our life groups meeting again, but we're just waiting on the Lord, and we're asking Him to guide the area leadership in what they determine and what they decide. So for right now, we're meeting online. God is helping us. It's not any of our first choice. We'd all rather be together, but for right now, it's what we need to do. So the Lord is going to help us. He is going to go before us. And thank you for watching online again. And be sure to tell others about it, because honestly, I think we've got a chance right now to reach more people than ever before. God is using church online. Well, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to James chapter 1, James chapter 1, or maybe you've got your iPhone there or your Android and you're using the YouVersion like I do. It's such a great version. And so we come to James chapter 1, where I've titled tonight's message, Why Is This Happening to Me? And this is a part of our Trouble to Triumph series from the book of James, as we're taking just a few weeks to look at James chapter 1. Now, we started this a couple of weeks ago in order to give us perspective, in order to give us strength, in order to give us hope and encouragement during this time of trial. Because even as the state begins to gradually reopen, we understand that we've got a bit of a long road ahead of us. Because honestly, there are some who have lost jobs. I want you to know that we're praying for you. I want you to know that we're asking the Lord to go before you, to provide for you, to get your job back or give you a new job. There's others, and you're facing financial pressure, either as a family because your hours have been cut, you're on unemployment, or maybe you have a company or a business, and this has really affected you, and you're facing a setback as a result. And then honestly, there's some, and you are feeling a depression. Maybe you're feeling a loneliness. Maybe there's an anxiety and it's there and you can't put your finger on it, because as you're looking at your life and you're trying to think through, why do I feel this way? You're just like, I can't figure this out, because there's no logical reason. I mean, the inconveniences and the patterns that I'm having in my life shouldn't be causing me to feel this stirred up inside, but you feel that way. All of which makes this passage incredibly relevant, incredibly practical for us. So let's look at it. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. If any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Verse 6, but when he asks, He must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Now, as we look at verses 5-8, essentially what we're going to do is we're going to answer two questions. The first question is this: why do we need godly wisdom? You know, last week we saw that God uses trials in our life to produce spiritual growth. In James chapter 1, in verse 2, we read this: consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If we don't understand anything else about the COVID-19 crisis, it's critical that you and I understand God wants to work in us during this trial. There are some tonight, and honestly, all you can think about during this season is, when is this going to be over? When can I get on with my life? When can things get back to normal? Can I just challenge your thinking for just a moment on that? How tragic it would be to have this crisis and to come out of it no different than when we went into it. How tragic for us to just say, you know what, I want it just the way it was and everything back to normal. For every single believer, the point is not to get through. The point is to grow through this crisis, to be changed by it, to come out on the other side stronger in our faith, more mature in our outlook. And in order for that to happen, and in order for us to consider it joy or count it all joy when we're encountering trials of various kinds, we have to, in a sense, understand what God is doing. We have to grasp God's purpose. Now, in a general sense, we could say, well, God is making us more mature. God is developing perseverance. But you know, for each one of us, that varies from person to person. Because where I might have strength and perseverance, you may not. Or where you have strength and perseverance, I may not. And so God is working in our lives in a variety of ways to develop and to mature each one of us. The problem and the difficulty with trials is simply this: when we're going through them, they can be so overwhelming, they can make us so uncomfortable, that all we see is the trial itself. And we're blinded because of the discomfort, we're blinded because of the desire to get it over with, to get on, to get back to normal, that we're blinded to what God might be doing. Listen, what determines how you and I face a trial, and especially whether you and I can face it with joy and with peace and to grow through it, or whether we're going to face it with a despair and a despondency and a depression, what determines how you and I face it is the wisdom with which we face it. Now watch this, it's very interesting. James chapter 1 and verse 4, James says, perseverance must finish its work so that you might be complete and mature, look at this last phrase, not lacking anything. Then in James chapter 1 and verse 5, he says this, the next verse, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. The word lack in verse 4 and verse 5 ties those two verses together. In other words, I want you to understand, James chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6 are not just general thoughts on wisdom and prayer. But James is telling us this, that when we go through trials, the main thing that you and I need is wisdom. Can I just tell you this? Suffering doesn't automatically make a person better. It can make people bitter. And just because bad things happen to us or difficult things happen to us, or we're moved out of our comfort zone for a season, doesn't mean that we're going to automatically become this great person or this spiritual giant. It's important how we think about the trial, not just this trial, but any trial. And that's why you and I need godly wisdom. Now, when we're talking about godly wisdom, that's opposed to the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom is more like this. Let's just get through this so we can get back to normal. The world's wisdom is, we don't deserve this. Why is this happening? We don't deserve this. The world's wisdom would say this, whose fault is this anyway? Why did somebody do what they did so that now I'm experiencing this? And the world's wisdom wants to blame. Or the world's wisdom can be, you know what we need to do? We need to get technology, we need to get science involved, and praise God for those things. But worldly wisdom simply looks on the surface. Worldly wisdom thinks of self. Worldly wisdom is not interested in the purpose of God and what God might do in any situation that we face. But godly wisdom says this, we're in a crisis, and we know this, that God works in all things. So God is doing a work. He's doing a work in the church, capital C, churches across, Christians across the country, around the world. He's doing a work in His people, believers, everywhere. He's doing a work in each one of us individually. God is doing a work. And if we don't have God's wisdom in the midst of trials, those trying seasons in our life and the pain will have been for nothing. God wants us to have the understanding of His work in us in the midst of trials, so that we can make the most of every opportunity. For James, godly wisdom is both information and insight. In other words, it's information. What is happening? What is God trying to do? And it's insight. How does that apply to my life? It's, you could say, it's understanding and activity. It's understanding that God is at work, and then it's the activity. How do I live in light of that? You could put it this way. It's orthodoxy and orthopraxy. It's good theology. God is at work. What does God want to do? And it's the practical outworking of that theology in our life as we live it out. You say, but I don't see it that way. I can't see what God is doing. It seems like such a waste, and I just feel anxious, and I just feel worked up over it. And if I think about the future, I get fearful. And James says, it's because you're lacking godly wisdom. So that leads us to the second question. How do we get godly wisdom? James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. If you need and want wisdom, if we want that in our life, then we need to ask God. One man put it this way, and I love this. We must never assume that God will give us, apart from prayer, what he has promised to give us only through prayer. In other words, don't think God just automatically gives wisdom like he automatically gives sunshine. God wants you and I to come to him in prayer and to say, God, I don't understand everything you want to do in my life right now, but I don't want to miss anything you want to do. Lord, I don't want to come out of this crisis the same as I went into it. This is a once in a 100-year storm. Lord, I want to learn from this. I want to grow from this. I want to become different from this. I want to be stronger. I want to be more faith-filled. I want you to do a work in me. And I want you to do a work through me. And when you go to God and you ask God, God, give me the godly wisdom to see what you're doing, to have that insight, and to live that out. When you and I do that, it becomes a powerful catalyst for change in our life, and it gives us peace in our mind. Now, I want you to notice something as we ask God in prayer for wisdom. James tells us some things about the Lord and how He gives. Number one, He gives generously. Look at it in James chapter 1 and verse 5, first part of the verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously. Now, I like the way the New Living Translation translates this because honestly, I think it's a little closer to the original language. It reads this way, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He's generous. He's a generous God. In fact, that's what it says in the Greek. Ask our giving God. Ask our generous God. Ask our gift-giving God. He's a God who delights to answer prayer. If you need wisdom, God is a giver. He is a gracious giver of all good things. We're going to see that later in James chapter 1. Second, James tells us this, he gives generously to all. I love this. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all. He gives to all. He's no respecter of persons. No matter what the trial, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, God gives generously. If you and I'll just ask, God is going to give, and he's not going to give you just a little bit. He's going to give you a lot. He is a generous God. And number three, James tells us he gives generously to all without finding fault. I mean, that's a great promise. I mean, he doesn't look at you and say, oh, brother, not him again. Oh, why is she coming to me again? Why does she always come and ask? He doesn't say that. Or he doesn't say this, what, you again? Didn't you learn last time? I mean, you're asking for something you asked for last time and you didn't use what I gave you. I mean, he doesn't do that. When you and I come to God, he's generous. He gives to everyone who asks, and he does it without any sense of being bothered. He does it without any sense of criticism towards us. And he knows us. He knows what we're like. All of that should be a huge encouragement as we pray and ask God for wisdom. In verse 6, he goes on to say this, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. When we ask, and we're asking God for that wisdom, we need to ask with confidence. We need to ask with assurance. We need to ask with the faith that says, I know that God is going to show me. I know God is going to show me what he wants to do in my life and how I can live that out. We can't be doubting in our heart when we ask. We can't be debating in our heart God's goodness. Like, is God good? Is he not? I wonder if he will. I wonder if he won't. In verse 8, James calls that doubting person double-minded or double-souled. Thinking it's this way and then thinking it's that way. It's going back and forth in your heart, in your mind, as to whether God is going to help you, whether God is going to show you, whether God actually has a reason for all of this. James says, don't do that. You know, because honestly, sometimes people will pray, and even as they're praying, they'll be wondering, I wonder if God will do this. I wonder if God will help me. I wonder if this does any good. Or people will have great confidence in one moment. They'll say, man, I'm praying and I'm just sensing God is really working. And then they walk out of that prayer time and they're like, oh, I wonder if he's going to really come through for me. And all of that's worldly wisdom. Look at it in verse 6. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord, but he is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. As we close, I want to ask you a few questions. What's your goal in regard to this pandemic? What have you been thinking? Is it just to get back to normal? Is it just to get your life back? Or is your goal to say, I want to grow in Jesus? I want to make the most of this opportunity for Christ. I want to use this time for the Lord to work in me so that He can work through me in the lives of others and draw people to Christ. You know, as I've been thinking about this text and our current situation and the opportunity for growth that it presents, I think, wow, that's such a great encouragement to know that God will show us, each one of us individually, what He wants to do in our life. I know this, I've been thinking this last week, I don't want to finish like I started. I don't want to be the same person on the other side of this trial that I was going into it. How sad to finish this pandemic and to come out of it and to look at our lives and not be any different. I think of the words of the poet, "For all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, it might have been." Don't miss the opportunity to grow in Christ. He wants to work in you, and He wants to work through you. And trials and trying times are one of the main ways He does that.